Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Well, the New Year's honours list has actually been leaked into the Telegraph, as we'd expect it to have been done so, with obviously Raducanu and Craig being amongst the top listed New Year honours. Richard, clearly you're under a D notice until it's officially revealed, but you could cite the Sunday Telegraph, because basically we can see all the results there already, can't we?
Alex, I think it's absolutely deplorable that you give this time to leaks. I think it's deplorable. I really do not see the point of leaking top names, and I absolutely refuse to say a word about it other than to condemn it and also to condemn you for airtime.
But Richard, surely it's just a case of spoilers, and we need to release those things right now. It's a bit like sort of saying, well, you can see Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3, or is it Spider-Man No Way Home? Natasha, you've seen it. You were worried because other people in the auditorium in Australia weren't wearing masks. You, of course, were wearing a mask to keep your secret identity sorted out from that point of view. So, Natasha, would you like to explain from the wanton perspective, what did you make of this Doctor Strange multiverse? Finally, Sony strikes one against the Disney empire and actually proves that actually ultimately people don't want to be lectured at, they don't want to be preached, they just want a rollicking good adventure.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's an interesting introduction to the movie. How did I make the movie? There was a lot of hype building up to this for me because I really loved the first two Tom Holland installments. So that for me, there was a lot of pressure going into this. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was very relieved that I managed to sort of miss a lot of the spoilers online. So I was very grateful for that. How did I find the movie? I wanted to really love it, and I wanted to really come out of this giving it a 10. Unfortunately, I cannot. I felt like, particularly the first half of the movie, there was something a little bit missing maybe for me. I certainly, with the additions of two certain gentlemen that were previously mentioned, I think that definitely helped it. I think that helped. I think that that helped give it more sort of energy and more personality. But yeah, the first half of the movie for me let it down a little bit and is the reason why I can't give it full marks. I did, having said that, very much enjoy it. The action and CGI, as always in any Marvel film, I thought was excellent. And yeah, visually very strong. The story was interesting, wasn't quite going where I was expecting. The ending was new. I liked the little teaser into Doc Strange. So yeah, I would give it about an 8.5, maybe a stretch to a 9. If I could just rate the second half of it, I'd probably give the second half of it a 9. But as a whole, I would probably give it about an 8.5.
So good, but not quite the 10 out of 10 we were anticipating. Never mind. As if to actually sort of strike me down from a Richard Fitzwilliams perspective. Not that it makes any difference because it is radio. My camera has ceased to operate. So there we are. We just have to carry on regardless. So never mind. Richard, over to you, good self. You presumably have actually seen No Way Home as well. Did you wear your mask whilst you were actually in the auditorium?
Well, since you asked me, there was practically nobody else in the cinema, although that fortunately has not been the case either nationally or internationally. It's just the particular performance I attended. I mean, I do have to say, just this, it must be a sort of, I know the movie is a sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, but it also got to be a comment before we actually review it, and this is what cinema needed. I thought it would be No Die or June. I mean, June did well. It happened to open simultaneously in the United States online, and that was unfortunate. Equally, No Time to Die has taken $718 million overall. In a week, Spider-Man No Way Home has taken $750 million. Now, I mean, that's absolutely amazing. And I mean, that's a worldwide gross direct to John Watts. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that this had two things in it, I think, that worked for it. Didn't work for me necessarily. One of them did, one of them didn't, but worked for the fans. The first was that we had, and this was it's not really a spoiler now because it is known, that the first Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, the second, Andrew Garfield, and the current one, Tom Holland, all appear, and secondly, five villains appear. So these were characters that the fans had grown to know and either love or hate, and they have flocked to see it. There's no question at all that it is a very, very successful movie. I loved the earlier Spider-Man. I thought that Tobey Maguire was a great deal simpler. You didn't have villains who had all these psychological hang-ups and the numbers of close-ups, the loud music, the length of it. Rather, I mean, it palled for me somewhat in quite a few parts. But this is a movie where Peter Parker has been revealed. He is, in fact, a thorough man. And what's more, he's supposed to be a murderer. So it happens that he asks Dr. Strange, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, to ensure that since it's been publicly revealed who he is, that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, well, you erase this from memory, but the problem is that he still wants a few family and friends to know who he is, and this rather breaks the spell. And it also opens the incredible multiverse whereby five supervillains from alternate realities return. And this is his challenge, obviously, looking at these characters, the various characters, the three Spider-Men, and villains including Otto Octavius, played by Alfred Molina, not one that I liked originally. Thomas Hayden Church plays Sandman, Rhys Ifans, Lizard, Dr. Kurt Connors, and so on. The fact of the matter have to be that you can like an awful lot of this movie. You can be amused by it. You can be diverted by it. There's Jamie Foxx as another villain, or there's Zendaya as MJ, who is Peter Parker's girlfriend. All of this is, it's a lot to take in a long, for me, it was a long 2.5 hour stretch. I mean, it's worked. It's getting people back to the movies. It is colourful. It's got some of those New York shots that I love. We're seeing Spider-Man whiz from building to building. It's also got some of those Marvel scenes that I have to say I do find very, very tedious, where you have these fights in the sky with very loud music, a sort of wham-bam business with special effects. The story is extremely convoluted. Peter Parker, the story of the All-American boy. There's Marisa Tomei's Aunt May, and then there's the best friend, and so forth, an intrepid fighter for truth. Well, I mean, this is a movie that's worked, so I'm not complaining. What I am saying is that the so-called darker side of Peter and the psychologically, well, the villains, I mean, you have Dr. Octavius trapped by Dr. Strange and all of this. I have to say that it palled as far as I was personally concerned, but nonetheless, I'm absolutely thrilled. It's an absolutely marvellous, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious hit. It's also got J.K. Simmons, the host of a news or a television show, which takes a particular interest in Spider-Man, and I thought he was very good. He always is. Yes. Fair enough. You've got Dylan, played by Jamie Foxx, and also I must give a mention to Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin and Osborn. With all of that, 6 for me personally, but 10 for the fans. So I give it 2 ratings.
Well, extraordinary. Well, as I said, it's good to see that Sarah Huntley is with us as well. Hello, Sarah. I'm afraid my camera has come out in sympathy with Chloe's today, because I did appear briefly, but it has failed to actually function. So clearly it's being pursued by the Sinister Six. But anyway, you're looking good, Sarah. I suspect you won't have been to see Spider-Man No Way Home. It probably isn't on the number one list of the Britain Huntley households. We must go and see this movie.
Well, you say that, but it wasn't, but it probably is now. I anything for escapism at the moment, I would love to go to. Yes. Yeah, it's probably second after West Side Story, but I like to go and see that. Yes.
Of course, definitely. Box office terms, it's completely destroyed and annihilated West Side Story, as you might expect it to have done. Chloe Rose, welcome to the program.
I must object to this again, because I mean, it certainly has done what you've said, but I would not have expected West Side Story to have such a low gross. I think it's deeply shocked the film industry that a Steven Spielberg movie has, at the moment, grossed very badly. But do bear in mind, with the Greatest Showman, that opened even worse than West Side Story. And look what happened. It word of mouth, people like your good or indeed or worthy self, you'd spread the word of West Side Story, and you haven't seen it, I don't think. Facts are, West Side Story may be a slow grosser. It's a dreadful beginning, I have to agree, but don't write it off, because it's going to be with cinemas a long time yet. Remember, Omicron is present at the moment. People are staying in. The older audience are not going to the cinema so much, so don't be premature.
Chloe Rose, I have no doubt that you will have been to have seen Spider-Man.
Yes.
So go on, share with us as a Marvel soul who's probably seen all 26 of the 27 movies that have been in place, this being the 27th. What's your final Chloe Rose thought on this particular number?
I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. I recommend everyone to go and see it. Can I give anything away, or are we not supposed to say?
Look, if Aunt May has to pop her clogs, Aunt May has to pop her clogs. Bottom line is, that's what happens, you know?
Well, the bit for me that really hooked me in even more was when Spider-Man turned up and then more spiders turned up. If you know what I'm saying, I don't want to say too much. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
It's
or
all right,
can't.
Chloe, we know
that's what you mean.
Just to clarify this, it's perfectly true. Before the movie was released, this wasn't revealed. It's certainly revealed all over the net now, so I think that's spoiler.
Oh, lovely. Oh, gosh. very exciting. It was awesome. I loved it. I'd recommend
anyone.
Were
you aware, Chloe, when you saw it, that actually Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland and, of course, Andrew Garfield would all be appearing in the same one?
No, because I tried not to watch it, really, because my partner, he's obsessed with Marvel as well. So I didn't want to know too much about it because I know what I'm like. I might slip something too excited and, you know. And, I was really shocked when they all came on for the multiverses, you know, the multi-universe and so on and so forth. Yeah. Well, and Doctor Strange was in it. I loved that. I love Doctor Strange.
Well, it's got a sort of thumbs up certainly from our songstress from East Yorkshire. Also, Chloe, did you wear a mask whilst you were watching it, or were you like Natasha's fellow sort of audiences in Australia, apart from Natasha, virtually all unmasked?
Well, I did have my mask there when I walked in, but nobody had masks on.
You see Natasha in the screen. So, something else that England and Australia actually have in common, basically, when it comes to masks, we may not wear them all the time, basically. It's just a cavalier attitude, as you said. You know, Richard, not wear your mask. Chloe had the mask, but didn't wear it. You know,
I didn't say I told you. I must object again. You're being outrageous.
It's a glorious look. It's the feast of Saint Stephen, the first martyr. He was basically stoned to death. So at the end of the day, we just have to proceed regardless, as well as the feast of the Holy Family. Okay, let's move to more violent matters and not the visitation in the Queen's location of a crossbow wielding 19-year-old. But he could well have just been auditioning for another part in Kingsman, could he not, Richard?
Yes, it certainly could be, Andy. I have to say that Kingsman, it's an adventure movie, and this has been a series where a spy ring is set in a Savile Row tailor's shop, has been tremendously successful, and it's tended to star Tara Cullen-Firth and Taron Egerton, and I thought that this, which is the prequel, as to how the shop, so to speak, became the front for this organization, would be fun. And I mean, I can only say it, so much money has been lavished on it. Visually, it's super, and it's set just before the First World War and during it. And quite honestly, it is a real waste of time, which is such a shame. I mean, it's only those with the minds of children, I think, who'd really enjoy this. And the most convincing characters in it, I thought, weren't humans at all, but there's a mountain fastness in Europe somewhere.
Richard, I'd qualify that by saying very foul-mouthed children, basically. You need to be sort of very foul-mouthed to actually appreciate Kingsman, surely.
Well, not just, I didn't notice particular amounts of swearing. I just noticed an enormous amount of rubbish. I mean, in this fountain fastness, there are lots of goats, and these goats have no dialogue. So I think they're rather to be envied, given the mess that those who have dialogue are plunged into. There's a Scottish villain who, no spoilers as to who plays him, because that would reveal who it is. And he's planning to spread chaos on the continent, the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand, the Tsar's abdication, and he sends Lenin to Russia, all of this sort of thing. Well, the whole thing really, frankly, is...
I sense you're about to say the word preposterous, Richard. Is that true?
No, I was just going to say, let me rather impatient, because there's one of the things is there's so many good actors in it. We enter the Duke of Oxford, played by Ralph Fiennes. He's a pacifist because he's been on all sorts of imperialist adventures by winning a Victoria Cross, but he's disgusted by it. And the opening scene, he travels to see his friend, Lord Kitchener. This is set during the Boer War. Kitchener, played by Charles Dance. Tragically, the Duke's wife, the Duchess, is killed in a sudden Boer attack. We also see, this gives you an idea of how childish it is, there's a concentration camp, which the British did have, which is actually part of Kitchener's headquarters. You see emaciated Boers, you see some dying, and you also see Kitchener portrayed as the Duke's friend and a force for good. In fact, the Scottish villain wants to bump him off. Now, this is nonsense. And yes, lots of top actors, fantastic recreations of the period, but the death of Rasputin, you see, Rasputin has to be got rid of, and, well, I mean, Reese Fans is bizarre. It's a sort of dance routine where the characters are trying to kill him, wielding swords. It really, really is very, very, very silly. When the Duke realizes the plot that's been hatched, well, he realizes that even though he's a pacifist, he's got to use violence to prevent it. He's got two helpers, Polly, played by Gemma Arterton, another good actor, and Shola, played by Jimon Hunsu, another good actor. He starts to track down the demonic figure who's orchestrating chaos. He has a son, Conrad, played by Harris Dickinson, who gets into the trenches despite all his father's efforts to protect him, and those of his friend George V. Quite amusing. Tom Hollander plays the Kaiser, Nicholas II, and George V. What a waste, frankly. Ralph Fiennes, a wonderful diction. He's a superb actor, as we've seen so often as I've seen on stage. I mean, frankly, if you like Kingsman, if rather zany, quirky nonsense appeals to you, fair enough. Otherwise, I've given it one star online and I'm giving it 2 out of 10 here.
Natasha, it has Tom Holland in it. Tom Holland and Lord Kitchener and Rasputin. It only seems to be missing Boris Johnson for the actual ultimate sort of movie in any shape or form for a multiverse of genuine madness. But, you know, Natasha, your thoughts on this one, and you do need to unmute.
Yeah, I am a massive, massive Kingsman fan. Like, I love the franchise. I would go so far as to say, and this is going to be very controversial and Rich is going to pull a face at me, but I love Kingsman more than I love James Bond. That's how much I love... Pulling faces. That's how much I love the Kingsman series. I just really enjoy it. I just think that it's fresh and I love the quirkiness. I really do love the quirkiness. I haven't seen this new movie. I obviously really want to watch it. I am a bit saddened by what Richard has said, not because I'm saddened by what you said. I just hope that it is actually decent because I've been looking forward to this for so long because of its delay. Rasputin, that is a character that does worry me. Because the trailer portrayals of him have seemed a little bit interesting. So that is the one element that going into this movie. But yes, I am very excited to see this movie.
Chloe, are you a Kingsman person?
Well, I'm not sure. I may be. I've not.
Not after Richard's review, you won't be, obviously. If ever a review was designed to destroy the franchise, dear Lord.
But, you know, I'll if it pops on the TV at some point or, you know, as a film or anything, I might, you know, check it out. Absolutely.
And Sarah, what about your good self? I mean, again, I suspect that this might not necessarily be in the sphere of Mawkwa Wise's greatest or indeed other classics that we've come to appreciate. But is this one which you say, well, if it's got Mr. Fiennes in it, it must be OK.
Oh, I do like Ralph Fiennes very much. Yes, I think I'm like Chloe. I just haven't, it sounds awful, I haven't had the time. And I did hear something, I think I'd have to start with Kingsman at the beginning would you agree with that, Natasha, to sort of understand it? Also, I've got a lot to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely start with the first one and just to give you a little bit of background.
I think
go back to James Bond, start with Dr. No.
Well, there's so much for everyone, isn't there? There's something for everyone, thank goodness.
It opens up the whole new world. And talk about something for everybody. We are delighted that the Duchess of Cambridge has actually achieved grade 3 in pianoforte, as well as grade 5 in theory. I mean, I was only, I think I was 12 when I got my grade 5, but that's okay. Obviously, after that, it's all been downhill. Chloe, did you watch the Royal Carol Service?
Yes. Oh, gosh, sorry, I get so excited. And I saw the bit where... Kate was playing piano for Tom Walker. I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is insane. You know, Catherine. And I just thought, wow, what a talent. And I think that's so nice for us you know, to see a different side of her as well and her talent. And I just think, wow, you know, maybe she'll do more of these things. This would be fab.
I mean, it's quite clearly take that, Meghan. Or maybe it isn't, Richard. Was it a political statement, or was it just a case of, well, there we are, here I am, playing the piano?
Well, what it was a definite tour de force, because, I mean, this was her carol concert. She introduced it on ITV, not BBC, the Three Palaces, Buckingham Palace, Clarence House and Kensington Palace, were extremely displeased with the BBC's two-part series presented by Amal Raj and the Princes and the Press. No, I think it was a genuine... Apparently she's rather adroit on the piano. I have to say I didn't know that. So it was rather a joy watching it when this happened, when she came on. I mean, I have to say, I think Catherine has hit all the right notes this year. And I think also the work that she's doing, looking at problems faced by early childhood, by the under fives. I think that's very valuable. I think she's also appeared and looked absolutely splendid, whether it was Prince Philip's funeral or whether it was at the Remembrance Sunday or whether it was at the 007 premiere. So, you know, a very good year for her, I think.
Sarah, I know that rather like Richard and myself, we were all involved with the Midweek Drive Christmas Eve special when the thing was being transmitted for the first time. But have you seen it since? Is it something that, again, surprised you, or did you think, yes, good on you?
Well, I'm going to listen to it after this, actually, because I've been my New Year's. I haven't got to New Year's resolutions, I know, but I went swimming again this morning, and I had quite a full-on day yesterday because I went to see my elderly parents in North first thing, and then drove to Westrum after that. So I got up early at 7 and went for a swim for 8 and cleared up, and that will be my treat after this, to go and recline and just listen to it all. And actually, it's very interesting when you listen back and what you thought you said and how you come across very differently, well, usually in the bad way. But I don't know about everybody else yesterday. Happy Christmas, by the way, Alex. I was thinking about you a lot yesterday. It's interesting how when you have to make conversation with sort of relatives that you don't know, I hope they're not listening, how one of the common denominators that keeps the conversation going, there was a bit of a lull about 8:30, and I had quite a long way to drive home from Westrum, and I was thinking, I'm the one doing the driving. Ooh, what should we all talk about now, or before we do another board game or another game? But films and media always keep the thing going, so you it's always a good one to say. Oh, so some of the things they were saying was, have you watched The Father? And I said no, and I like Anthony Hopkins, and I know that's on my list. And
probably Richard's movie of the year, I would have thought, actually.
It is remarkable, but I totally agree with Sarah. And indeed, we were discussing Love Actually in the Christmas Eve podcast. And indeed, I happened to be putting my feet up for a minute, switched on Radio 4, and there were Curtis and Martin McCutcheon and others reminiscing.
I think a very interesting thing, which says a lot for radio, is today when I was driving back from swimming, there was a programme on Radio 4 about the power of radio and just how it does something different, very, very different. Sorry, I can't think of it. It's a very well-known chap who's renowned for making documentaries. And I just find it fascinating because what the part of the thing was, he doesn't natter on like I do. What he draws out of people and the archive that it gives throughout time is quite fascinating. So I think I find those sorts of radio archives, especially when you listen to the way people talked about 30 to 40 years ago and how different it is to now. And like the younger members in this radio today, like Natasha and Chloe, you'd think it was from 100 years ago when you listened to them. And it's like a lot of my relatives spoke. And you think, oh, gosh, yes, people were like that. So I find, and radio is much more profound at that than television, I think. Much more.
It is the theatre of the mind. Natasha, just got to ask you, I mean, you're at the end of obviously your Boxing Day now in Australia. So did you get as energetic as Sarah? Did you actually dive into the beach and all the rest of the places? Because you haven't got any excuse of it being too cold, surely.
No, it's been far too hot, Alex. I'm feeling terribly British in suffering in the 30 degree heat. We didn't really do a lot because we've just got into, like, we were getting the internet installed in the house. So I suppose that was important. We needed internet. And we're just sort of unpacking a load of boxes. We're almost there with the house now, but we've just sort of been unpacking everything. We did make sushi. I know that's kind of blasphemous for the sort of the staunch supporters of Turkey.
Sushi is a very traditional Christmas meal, surely. Cold fish.
I wasn't putting the oven on and dying any more in the heat than I needed to. So it was nice and relaxed, and it was kind of a different one this year, the last 2 years, because obviously we've had the borders shut and neither of us have been able to see our family in 2 years. So it's been quite chill, but in some ways that's actually been quite nice, just to not seeing my family is nice. It's nice just that
Natasha, I know the old line about basically the family set off in the car, the children are all excited, they go off over the hills and far away, we're off to see grandmama, and then the next sort of panel at the end is, you know, grandmama and grandpapa looking out of the window saying, we've moved over the hills and far away, and they still kind of track us down and find us.
No, I think it was just nice, like with what Sarah was saying, that sometimes when you're sort of in a very busy social situation and you sort of like, oh, I'm not quite sure what to CC you, or oh, I need to do this because the social pressure is that I need to do this. Whereas it was quite nice yesterday that we sort of, we spoke to all our friends and family, yes, but we sort of got up when we wanted to, we kind of did what we wanted to do, we cooked what we wanted to do, rather than the sort of rigidity baby you would have if you were, you know, in family routine. But no,
I agree with Natasha. I love the fact, and I was privileged and very lucky to be with my brother, who did a brilliant day yesterday. But there should be a book written on how you go to escape for 10 to 15 minutes. You just need to recharge your batteries sometimes. And because I talk rather a lot, as you all know, they all expect me to go, oh, what's the matter with you? And you're not saying anything. And you think, oh, gosh, I'm really... And you can't say you're boring me. I don't really want to talk about this. Or
You could, sir. You could just say, frankly, I find the whole thing a bore. Actually quoting Louis Jourdan from Gigi. It is such a bore.
Only a few... I mean, sure, Chloe's the same. Only a few... Chloe's like me. She... You know, people expect us to sort of effervesce, and sometimes you're not quite happy just to sit and listen. You don't need to.
Yeah. So I know what you mean. That's it. Yeah, sometimes you just like to listen to what other people want to say rather than me gabble and ramble on all the time, which I do very often too.
Never, Chloe. Once you've had your raw fish and a bit of sushi, you know, all's Ooh. Well with the world in Cleethorpes, surely.
Absolutely.
Personally, I think we should actually bring back Maurice Chevalier singing Sank Even for Little Girls, even though obviously it is politically very incorrect to go down that line. It's just a thought. Richard, as we head off to another sort of year from such like, presumably next week you will be looking at the officially released New Year's Honours list that'll be coming through, as opposed to the leaked version that we can see in the Sunday Telegraph.
Alex, you're just being shameless and provocative in giving it 2 as opposed to 1. Over the years, some individuals have released names. We don't know. There's a mole in the network, somewhere or other, who does this, and it spoils it for others. So, Alex, I won't ask you to be less mischievous in the year to come, because I don't think it would work, you see. That's the problem.
Mischievous? I don't know what you're speaking of, Richard. Honestly, you know, I just sort of think it's hopeless. It's been fantastic connecting with all of you, of course. Let's hope next time around that my camera suddenly restores itself. Who knows? It's just decided that it's had enough. But what the hey? Maybe it's just coming out in principle with respect to Chloe. So, Sarah, go on. Would you like to ask the team, in the order in which you see them on the screen, those final two questions, for what is not quite the final session, because we've got a Resonance Rewind that's coming up in the not too distant future, but depending on the siren list, it could well be the last time they're hearing us from the year 2021.
you broke up a little bit, Alex, there. Were you asking me to ask everyone? Like, I didn't quite
exactly.
Get it.
I was just breaking up with the emotion of the whole thing, Sarah. It's just too much for me.
Natasha, will you be coming in from Oz again?
Oh, I'd love to. Put some muscle on.
And have you had a happy, jolly Christmas link-up?
It's been wonderful. Thank you for having me, as always.
Mr. Fitzwilliams, it wouldn't be this without you at all the time. So I'm looking forward to the next instalment. And I don't think I'm going to have to ask you, but can you just affirm to the listeners that you are coming back?
Oh, please. Also, I'm hoping that you might be able to join us in some of the podcasts because, you know, we haven't spoken apart from on Christmas Eve for such a long time. So hopefully, not only will I be back, but also we'll be on the same one. And also Natasha, of course, which is such a joy. I have to say, Natasha, I do thoroughly enjoy your reviews and news from Australia and so forth.
I think that worked very well, you two. Well, to our pitchless friends, Alex and Chloe, will you be coming back?
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, everyone, and see you in the new year, 2022.
And to you, Chloe, it's great to chat to you.
Oh, the year of three tunes.
We've got to remember it's your birthday soon.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sarah. Honestly, it's just a different line entirely. We'll just have to carry on to a whole new world. I feel like one of those goats that Richard was talking about in the mountain world of clansmen or kinsmen. I'd also put a little shout out, though. Don't Look Up, quite an extraordinary movie, well worth accessing via Netflix.
Ooh, yes.
And in addition to that, check out the extraordinary Encanto from Disney, which is if Academy Awards are being sorted out, I think Encanto with music by Lin-Manuel. I've forgotten his surname. He's in
Miranda,
exactly. He also sort of outdoes himself, a really great musical, which I'm sure will have a live action version before too long. So you'll be able to see it then, Richard. Richard Fitzwilliams, Sarah Huntley, Natasha Armstrong, Chloe Rose. Take care and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.